Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, fresh off the shit list. The singer of this song. I wanna walk into a cold bitter. Now, is your sister singing the harmonies on this song?
Yes, she is.
So that's why it sounds so good. Is she your bigger sister or little sister?
She's my older sister. She's 4 years older than me.
Did she make you let her sing the harmonies, or did you say, yeah, I think it would be a good thing?
No, I actually, it was my mom's idea, but, you know, they say there's nothing better than sisters that can harmonize. So she's awesome. So
but they never
worked
really,
out well.
They never really harmonize, do they? Sisters, that whole thing?
Some yeah. Point.
They do? Okay. All right. Well, first of all, Peyton, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
For those of you who don't know, Peyton is a former Master Sergeant in Army ROTC from the Dallas area, yes?
From Austin is where I moved to Nashville from, but I did ROTC or junior ROTC when I was in high school in Florida.
All right. So she's an former ice skater, she's a little bit of everything, and so she got on my shit list recently after she came on the program and talked about, and she was introduced to us, and we were talking about her father took his own life, and what she went through, and what her family has gone through, and so then I get this text message from F-18 guy, Rudy. And Rudy is Peyton's uncle. And so he says, hey, Peyton was talking to me about how frustrating it is when, you know, you lose somebody in your family to suicide and everybody doesn't want to talk about it. And then it's like you lose them a second time. And I said, well, tell her to come on. So, and what do I hear for like 2 months? Cricket, cricket. Cricket. So, when you do that, Peyton, where does that land you?
On the shit list.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. No.
So make us smart. Now, don't give us an excuse. Make us smart. How do we do that? Because I think most people, when you stay away from a subject like that, it's you're not sure, right? So you skew to the side
right.
of I don't want to upset them. So
right.
give us some advice.
So I actually, the reason that was brought up to my Uncle Kurt, or Rudy, as you guys all know him, was because I was at a conference for my job outside of singing here in Nashville, and I was listening to this woman speak about patient care and how, you know, when someone loses a member of their family, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry for your loss, and then, like, glossing over it and trying to talk about something else to avoid this subject, why don't you instead ask them, you know, what's their name? What were they like? You know, ask them questions to, for a moment, bring that person back to life for them again, because regardless of how painful it is, you know, they would do anything to have that person back in their life. So I don't think it's hurting the person who's experienced that kind of loss to bring them back to life for a little bit and ask them questions about them, you know, what did they enjoy doing? What were they like? Things like that. And I, when hearing that, I was like, wow, that's so true. Nobody ever really asked me, you know, if I talk about losing my dad, most people are like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. And then that's it.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds
what
like,
does that sound like,
thank you for your service. And
yes.
They don't mean it. It's a throwaway line.
Yep.
Oh, you're in the military? Thank you for your service. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why don't you shut up? You know,
yeah.
And that's
yep.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so when I heard that, I immediately texted my Uncle Kurt, and I think I'm pretty sure I texted you too, but I was just like, she's so right in what she's saying, and I don't know, it made me think about, like, I don't remember the last time someone ever asked me, what was your dad like? And I understand why. It's because they're afraid of making you feel uncomfortable or it makes them uncomfortable. But I mean, I think that has to change. And, that's what you're doing, what my Uncle Kurt's doing. What I'm trying to do is change that to make it okay to talk about it.
You know, and I think as we, you know, there was a day when you didn't even mention the word suicide, right? And so it's the same thing with the discussion of PTSD and it's not a disorder. Don't call it PTSD. Well, I don't really care what you want to call it, right? If you want to call it PTSD, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. Okay, let's just talk about it. And I think we're getting there. But I think, you know, a lot of times people are dealing with this for the first time. Well,
right.
She's the only person I know that I deal with on a regular basis whose dad, you know, took his own life. And so everybody deals with these things, I think, rarely in their life, unless you're part of the tribe and you deal with it on a regular basis. And so what do they do? So I think that's awesome advice. You need to come back on and we need to talk about post-traumatic winning because I need you to become a spokesperson and disciple of post-traumatic winning.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, everyone goes through, I mean, it's something that even I struggle with. You talked about not hearing from me for a couple months, and it was because of something that I was experiencing with losing my dad, and it's all about the constant struggle and experience of learning to coexist with this kind of trauma. And, you know, I talked to my Uncle Kurt about it and how my dad's birthday is October 1st, and, you know, leading up to October 1st, that's all you can think about. And it's been 5 years, but it doesn't change the fact that it still feels like it's yesterday. And I felt, you know, I woke up October 2nd, and I didn't even think about my dad on October 1st. And I was feeling like such crap about myself and how selfish that was and how I should have, you know, at least thought about it. I mean, like, how does the time in life, how does that happen to where you spend so much time thinking about this person every day, and then one day happens, and you don't think about them, and then you feel guilty about it the next day, and that's something that I struggle with a lot, especially, you know, when it was his birthday, but that's something that I deal with all the time. You know, I go throughout my day, and then I go to get in bed at night, and I'm like, wow, I didn't really think about my dad today, and that's hard to say out loud, because you don't ever want to say that about someone that, you know, is the most important person in your life.
So, I don't mean to wire brush you here, but I will. What are you supposed to do when you go down that road?
Talk about it.
Hello, girl.
I know it. But it's a constant struggle. And yeah, right. And then after the fact, you and my Uncle Kurt were both like, I mean, I remember him trying to call me and I just wouldn't answer the phone. I was like, I can't talk about this.
I called him and I said, hey, what's that chick's problem, man? What's her deal? He's like, I don't know. I said, well, you need to get a hold of her, and you need to yoke her ass up. He's like, yeah. Blah. Then he's getting wire brushed for you. So the whole world's getting wire brushed. No, I think it's not a normal, right? Our normal inclination is to what? Withdraw inward.
To just shut down.
Yeah, and be quiet and do it on your own. But, that's not the better way. The better way is to lean on the tribe and verbalize it. And that's, you know, and again, you know, that's what the gospel of post-traumatic winning and one of the commandments is stay connected. And when you hurt, say something. Because again, but it's not everybody's natural inclination. Everybody's natural inclination is to do what you did because that's how we normally cope with stuff as we grow up. And so it's a learned behavior to reach out and say, hey, I am hurt and this is kicking my ass and that's why I'm quiet. So, anyway, all right. What are you most thankful for on this Thanksgiving?
So many things.
Come on.
So many things.
Don't give us that lame answer.
No, I know. And I feel like first and foremost, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my relationship with God and the gifts that He's given me, and in gifts being my family, this tribe that I've become a part of.
Yes.
And above all that, I'm thankful for you and people like you and people like my Uncle Kurt who are using, you know, your coexisting with trauma and using it to help others and to talk and using your voice to talk about things like this.
Yeah, well, see, that's the whole purpose of us liking you, okay? Because we want you to help us because you have a forum. You have a platform. And you can, like we do on a regular basis when we cross paths with people who've experienced trauma. Most people experience trauma alone, and they're doing it for the first time. And so, especially significant trauma, and they don't know what to do. And when they hear somebody say, I was just up in Minnesota speaking, there's nothing wrong with you if you're struggling. You're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like you lift this incredible burden off them. And this girl came up to me. She waited for me. And then I got done doing what I was doing. And I walked, and she said, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. And she said, I want to give you a hug. And I said, I don't hug people. And she said, what? I said, yeah, I'm not a hugger, so no. She said, I'm so hugging you, so you better get ready. She said, Mac, I've been to see 4 therapists, and none of them have told me that I'm okay, that there's nothing wrong with me. And I, when you said that tonight, I cannot believe the burden that I felt that was lifted from me. And so you are going to be Peyton the Evangelist. But it's all that common stuff, common sense stuff that you've lived. It's nothing highfalutin or anything like that. And so we're slowly but surely luring you in and to become an evangelist of post-traumatic mental health. And that it is okay to struggle, and you are going to have a trauma menstrual cycle, and you can speak to this. Some days you can think about it, right? And you're okay. Other days, just the thought of it, right? Makes you cry. And
I think the whole people who struggle, you know, every time, and I said this last time we spoke, there are so many people who, when you're talking about people who are dealing with depression and post-traumatic stress and anything of the nature, I feel like everyone's always like, well, you, if you know someone's struggling, here are things you could do. But that's the problem. Like, most of the time you never know. You know, no one's out there talking about it. And that's what's so important about what we're trying to do is
I knew.
Make it.
That's why your uncle got wire brushed. Where is she? Why is she silent? Is she just rude? No. She's not rude. But she's from the South, and Southern people tend not to be rude. He said, no. I said, okay. Well, you better get to her over there, Rudy. But, you know, but that's with familiarity. People do emit, right? They do emit. And once you've been sensitized to it, I think it helps you reach out to them when they're in dark, when they go to dark places, when they go to alone places, and hopefully help them learn. But yeah, we have big plans for you. You don't know that, but we do.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I just think what y'all are doing is so important, and especially being someone who's continues to experience it daily. I mean, the need for the conversation to be happening so that people who would typically deal with it alone know that, oh, okay, I can talk about this without, you know,
hello,
someone having to guess that I'm feeling a certain way.
No, it's the process of kind of normalizing this discussion of and then beyond that of mental health and mental health issues and things like that, and getting it to be part of our daily dialogue, to not be afraid of it, but mostly to change people's lives by telling them that look, to struggle is okay. To struggle is okay, and it's not going away, and you're normal, and you're just like the rest of us, so don't be afraid of it. Where are you going to go for Thanksgiving?
I am actually headed home to Florida tonight to see my family in Florida for Thanksgiving. So.
All right. What's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
Ooh, I don't know. Just the conversation. My family is pretty loud and
conversation on Thanksgiving of the meal when you sit down to eat. And we look at your plate, what are we going to see?
Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts. Just a load of Brussels sprouts.
You're such a hick. You're a hillbilly.
That is not a hillbilly.
Hello. If we were on, what is it, Family Feud? If we were on Family Feud and you gave that answer, you know what would happen on the board? It would go ding. Right? And what's that guy's name? Steve. Yeah. He would look at you and say, really, Ellie Mae? Where's your straw hat? Wow. So,
for Brussels sprouts? I thought Brussels sprouts were like trendy now.
I
liked them before they were trendy.
All hillbillies think their food is trendy. What? Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting. That's interesting. All right. What's the weather in Florida like? Nice this year?
According to my mother, she said it's like 70, 80 degrees and sunny right now, which is nice because it's pretty freezing in Nashville. It's not freezing, but it's like 30 degrees.
Yeah, that's pretty freezing for Nashville, though, yes?
Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, I know you're at work, so we appreciate you taking time for us, as always, Peyton. And we're gonna talk again, and I have to get you the little commandment cards for post-traumatic winning so that you can have everything you need to spread the word. But we appreciate first of all you coming on and you being part of the program on occasion and sharing your story. And because I'll tell you what, there's people that will listen today that will know somebody whose burden you will ease simply by talking about this today. And I know when Rudy F-18 man, when he initially brought the subject up, I thought, well, I'm not sure how I would react. I know how I react when I see somebody with prosthetic legs or a prosthetic arm, and my daughters cringe. I just walk over and say, where'd you get those?
Yeah.
And they say, at the VA. I said, well, where'd you earn them? Oh, in Iraq. What year? Where? And my daughter's like, Dad, I can't believe you say that. I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's not a big deal. And he's part of our tribe no matter what, and he knows we love him and we care about him. So what is cringeworthy for you is not significant to us. And they've learned that, though. They've learned that, though. And so, you know, you're making it not as cringeworthy by helping us maybe touch somebody else and put a smile on their face. So well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's the dream, you know, to help, I mean, to live in a place where there's like, I mean, that is the purpose of life. Like, you're not supposed to do life alone. You're supposed to have people. You know, there's a reason there's a saying that it takes a village and, or a tribe, you know, so I just think that I'm very grateful, for you, and I'm thankful, that you've had me on the show now, and to have these conversations with you and just to be a part of such an amazing family, because I think what you're doing is really amazing, and I just really appreciate it.
One of the highlights of this year on the show, and I tell this to people, I tell them, I said, so I'm interviewing this girl. She's a singer. Okay. Now, and so I tell them a little bit about you, and I tell them the story about when we were talking, and I said, well, you know, Peyton, that you're a part of our tribe. And then you said, you can't see this, but I just got the biggest smile on my face. And I love that, in that our tribe is an awesome tribe filled with awesome people, but they struggle.
Yeah.
But they struggle. Yeah. And we don't accept silence, right? We don't accept lame-ass excuses, right? We're in it for each other, and we're in it to win it, and we're in it to affect people's lives. And so out of this year, that is one of my favorite moments out of the year when you said that, the smile that you got on your face. But you are every bit – you can't get on the shit list without being in the tribe, okay? So just so you know.
Well then, I'm thankful to have been on the show.
There you go. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much.
You bet. There she is, the one and only Peyton Davis here on a on a pre-Thanksgiving version of the Thanksgiving show. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next after this.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed of this heartbreak. I want to drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
You can buy it on Apple, on iTunes, or it's called Hurt, Peyton Davis. PeytonDavis. So we'll listen to this, we'll take a break.
Thanksgiving. That is Peyton Davis singing. The song is called Hurt. So we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up. Gunner will join us in about 35 minutes. So we'll check some news headlines and more of All Marine Radio. The day before Thanksgiving coming up next.